Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Exodus, the 18th chapter. I will just tell you, I'm going to be reading from the Message, so it's going to be a little different than what appears on the screen, but you'll be able to follow along. Now, it's the 18th chapter. It means that Moses and the children of Israel are in the wilderness. They've been there a while. They have been delivered from bondage and slavery in Egypt. They have gone through the wet Red Sea. They're not quite to Sinai. That's still a couple of chapters away, the Ten Commandments. But they're trying to figure out, after 400 years in slavery, how to be God's people in this place of freedom. And Moses' father-in-law comes to visit him, and he diagnoses the first known case of clergy burnout. The next day, Moses took his place to judge the people. People were standing before him all day long, from morning to night. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What's going on here? Why are you doing all this and all by yourself, letting everybody line up before you from morning to night?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me with questions about God. When something comes up, they come to me. I judge between a man and his neighbor and teach them about God's laws and instructions." Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, said, "This is no way to go about it. You'll burn out and the people right along with you. This is way too much for you. You cannot do this alone." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for your wise words in Scripture, for your empowering word as it moves among us, and your transforming word as it lives within us. Amen. We are continuing our summer sermon series. That's almost as hard to say as fried bread fundraiser. On what ministers wish their church members knew. And today I want to talk with you about the care and feeding of your pastor, particularly your new pastor. Now, this is definitely a sermon that your new pastor couldn't preach without sounding whiny and self-serving. So my job as an interim is to sound whiny and self-serving. It's one of the freedoms of being an interim. I want us to talk, I want to explain to you, from a clergy point of view, why it is important to take care of your pastor, how to do it, and to share some of the ways that congregations have cared for Rick and me, which we believe made a tremendous difference in the vitality and the longevity of our ministries. I talked last month about the tremendous cultural, religious, and demographic shifts that are affecting North American churches these days, and the enormous challenges these shifts place on churches. Churches all across the United States are struggling, and every year about 4,000 of those churches give up the struggle and close their doors. As this plight of the American church has become increasingly evident, you know, there are always these articles about, you know, in so many years there's not even going to be a church anymore. But that's probably the most catastrophic way of looking at it. But we have to understand the Church of America today is in crisis. And so there's been a fair amount of research into what makes for strong, healthy congregations. How can we avoid this catastrophic future that some envision? And while there are lots of factors that we could talk about why 4,000 churches close every year, there is substantial evidence that strong, healthy congregations are led by effective, spiritually vital pastors. The Lilly Endowment, I'm so sorry Chuck and Dodie aren't here today, because Chuck worked for years for the Lilly company, which has been extraordinarily generous to churches. In fact, we call it the Church's One Foundation. And the Lilly Endowment, which is very concerned about religious matters, has been particularly intrigued by this connection between healthy churches and healthy pastors. And they decided that one of the things they could do, maybe the most important thing they could do to enable vital congregations was to enable vital pastors. So in the last 15 years or so, Lilly has given out nearly $100 million. They're going to put their money where their mouth is, in grants for clergy study leaves and sabbaticals. Your former pastor, David Shirey, received one of those grants. Rick received one, and I also received one. And what an amazing blessing these grants were to us in nurturing our ministries, in reviving our spiritual health, and enabling us to re-engage our work in the congregation in more vital ways. The Lilly Endowment website notes, pastors are essential to nurture and sustain the spiritual vitality of Christian congregations. Spiritual guide, scholar, counselor, preacher, administrator, confidant, teacher, pastoral visitor, and friend, pastors are called on to play many roles in leading the ministries of congregations. The website goes on. The job is demanding, and pastors perform their duties among a dizzying array of requests and expectations. It is not a job for the faint-hearted, but requires a rare balance of intelligence, love, humility, compassion, and endurance. Most importantly, it demands that pastors remain in touch with the source of their life and strength. Like all people of faith, good pastors need moments to renew and refresh their spiritual energies and regain their enthusiasm and creativity for ministry. So as we see this link between healthy congregations and healthy, engaged pastors, the truth is wise congregations take care of their pastors. They take care of their pastors because it is the faithful and loving thing to do, but also because it is in the self-interest of the congregation to have a spiritually vital pastor. And smart congregations know or intuit that their pastors are, as Lilly says, essential to the church's own spiritual vitality. When Rick and I were pastors at First Christian Church in Omaha, we went through, in the time we were there, three strategic or planning, visioning processes. The first process came pretty early in our ministry, and we were able to bring in Roy Oswald, then one of the best-known church consultants in the country, to lead us in that process. And one of the issues that was on the table for all of us was how did we go about having a long and vital ministry? First Christian Omaha had just had a series of very short and often highly conflicted pastorates. Rick and I had just finished a short and unhappy ministry as well. And while everyone was eager to make this ministry last, mainly because none of us wanted to move again, Oswald helped us to understand that more was at stake and helped us understand the importance of a long pastorate and how short ministries do damage potentially to a church. He pointed out that churches run the risk of losing ground every time there is a pastoral change. Now, sometimes there are good reasons for a pastoral change. A year ago, I was getting ready to leave First Omaha, and it was time. I needed to go. Sometimes there's just not a good fit. Sometimes, to be honest, the pastor is just not very effective. Many pastors, though, move not because they are unhappy, but just because they're feeling burned out. And the only way they can see to regain energy and enthusiasm for ministry is just by changing churches. And so Oswald noted that for 1 to 2 years before a pastor moves, he or she is generally winding down and disengaging and becoming less productive and effective. Then an interim comes in, some like me or Rick, and interims by their very nature are times of focusing inward, reassessing, revisioning where the church is going, and that means interims are not times of substantial growth or innovation or bringing in a lot of new programs. So interims generally last 1 to 2 years. And then when the new pastor comes, you're so excited, we're all so excited, we're praying for the search committee all the time on your work. But when a new pastor comes in, they have to take a little while, at least a year, to get to know you and the congregation, to get to know the community, before they can move to become really effective. So you just do the math. Every time a church changes ministries, ministers potentially lose between 3 and 6 years of forward motion. So Oswald convicted us at First Omaha that smart, faithful congregations take care of their pastors. And his words had some effect because Rick pastored at First Christian Omaha for 15 years, and I stayed there for 18 years. And looking back on that ministry, I see that we were able to stay there for that long because the congregation cared for us in ways that kept our ministry vital. The truth is, as Jethro tells Moses in our scripture for today, ministry is not something that anyone, even Moses, even Jesus, can do all by themselves. Lots of pastors try. Lots of congregations expect that their pastor can do it all by themselves. And the result is an epidemic of clergy burnout. About 40% of active pastors today report symptoms of burnout, and 80% report feeling discouraged. And discouraged and burnout pastors are not effective pastors. So here are some things that you can do to help prevent burnout, and which Rick and I found made a big difference in our ministry. First of all, minister to the minister. Who ministers to the minister? Who pastors to the pastor? I will tell you, ministers by and large are not very good at asking for help. If you ask your pastor how they're doing, they will answer fine. Even if they are not fine, have the wisdom and insight and intuition to look beyond your pastor's surface protestations. If you know or guess that your pastor's experiencing some personal or professional stress, let them know you care. Tell them you're praying for them. Tell them you want to take them to lunch and talk about what's going on, if that's helpful. Just let them know you care. Offer something specific. Say, here's a gift card. Take your wife or husband out to dinner, or here are some coupons to the movie. Go out and just see something funny that makes you laugh. I'll babysit the kids. Offer your pastor care. When Rick's mother Marge lived in Omaha for the last year before she died, and she was in and out of the hospital for most of that year. One Sunday afternoon, Marge was having emergency surgery. And some folks in the church said, well, how are you doing? We said, we're fine, we're okay. Well, thankfully, one couple in the church ignored our insistence that we were fine, came to the hospital, and sat with us in the surgery waiting room. I still remember that with such thanksgiving. Be willing to minister to your minister. Clearly, it makes a difference. Another way, set and maintain good boundaries. Many pastors are terrible at setting boundaries and terrible at self-care. They don't take their vacation time. They don't take their day off. I'm looking at you, Rick Jensen. I'm looking at you. And during the transition process, one of the things that I was so thrilled to hear from the congregation was you saying you wanted a pastor that would practice good self-care. That's fabulous. Be sure and let that new pastor go know that that's an expectation. But you can help your pastor practice good self-care by honoring his or her time off. Most pastors I know take, at the most, one day off a week. I have had church members call me on my day off because I know it's your day off and so you won't be busy so we have time to talk. I have had people call me at home in the evening because I didn't want to bother you at the church today. In Omaha, one group in the church used to schedule their fellowship events on our day off because they wanted to be sure, they knew that Rick and I would be free that day, and they wanted to be sure we could attend their fellowship event. I just want to note that we pastors love our congregants, and we love spending time with you, but anytime we attend a church social gathering, it becomes work. It becomes work. If you have a genuine pastoral need, if there's a death in your family, if there's a serious illness or an accident happens, of course call your pastor. We don't care if it's our day off. If you're in crisis, we need to know about it, and we need to know about it right away, and we would be offended if you didn't call us. But don't call on your pastor's day off to ask about some little issue that can wait. So what time is that meeting next week? I need to write an article for the newsletter. So does this sound good to you? What's the scripture for Sunday? You know, those are all questions I've gotten on my day off. If it can wait, let it wait. Just give them a little space. Something really important is to offer words of praise and thanks. Sometimes we pastors can be emotionally needy. And I feel a little hypocritical about saying write thank you notes because I'm terrible at it. But as a congregation, there are some of you that are fabulous at this. Rick and I appreciate the cards and notes and words of appreciation that we receive from you. Keep it up for your new pastor. The nature of ministry is you have to be willing to plant seeds that you may never see sprout. It is tempting to feel discouraged, to feel that you're missing the mark, to feel that you're just not making a difference. Your words of thanks and praise and appreciation always are so meaningful and mean more than you can imagine. So those individual words of thanks and praise are wonderful. When I was packing up just a year ago, my office in Omaha, I found stacks of thank you notes and cards that I had saved and cherished and that I loved to reread. But I will also say the week of the ministry comes around every October, and that can be a great time for you and the whole congregation to offer some token of appreciation to your pastors. Sometimes congregations give their pastors a weekend away. I mean, pastors don't have a weekend. We kind of have to work on Sundays. So a weekend away, or tickets to a concert, or again, a gift card to a restaurant. Just some little thing that says, thanks for being our pastor. Celebrate good times. Now, this is a natural for you here at Coldwater because you're great at celebrations. In our 18 years at First Omaha, the church celebrated the 25th anniversary of Rick's ordination, the 25th anniversary of my ordination, and the 10th anniversary of our ministry in that church. And this act of celebrating together, of recognizing these important milestones in our ministries, really cements the bond between pastor and congregation. Allow time for spiritual renewal. As the Lilly website notes, a spiritually vital pastor needs intentional time away for spiritual growth and renewal. When I was wrapping up my ministry in Omaha, there were a number of colleagues that asked with some awe and wonder and astonishment, how were you able to stay in one church for 18 years? And I told them a major reason was because the congregation gave me regular sabbaticals. First, Omaha had a generous sabbatical policy. While I was there, I was able to take 3 sabbaticals. Rick was able to take 2. And I cannot emphasize how significant those extended times away were for us in renewing our spiritual life. They were such a gift to us. And we hope that a revitalized and reinvigorated minister were a gift back to the congregation. Pray for your pastor every day. Include your pastor in your daily prayers. Your prayers hold us up when we might otherwise fall and hold us together when we feel like we are coming apart. And finally, forgive mistakes. I'm going to paraphrase a little speech that Nadia Bolz-Weber, who's one of the most interesting and creative pastors that is in parish ministry today, gives to all potential members of her church. Your pastor will inevitably disappoint you. It is a matter of when, not if. And she goes on to say, I then invite those prospective members to decide if they'll stick around after the disappointment happens. If they choose to leave when we don't meet their expectations, they won't get to see how the grace of God can come and fill the holes left by our failure. And that's just too beautiful and real to miss. Your pastor will always disappoint you. Sooner or later, your pastor will let you down. Even in the short time that Rick and I have been here, I'm sure we have managed to let you down in some way. In former churches, I have known that people have left the church because I failed them in some way. and the memories of those failures haunt me. But I'm human and sinful and fallible and imperfect, and so it's inevitable. And your new pastor, who will be amazing, will also be human and sinful and infallible and imperfect. And so I am absolutely, unequivocally certain that sooner or later your new pastor will disappoint you, that he or she will fail you in some way. And I also am very sure that sooner or later you and the congregation will disappoint and fail your new pastor. But when you all hang in there, when you let the grace of God come in and fill the holes and ease the wounds and lead you to forgiveness and understanding, that's too holy and grace-filled and beautiful to miss. Because ministry, you know this from your time with David, ministry between a pastor and congregation who love and care for each other is holy, and it is beautiful, and it is grace-filled, and it is something absolutely not to be missed.